be Saturday.
What day is it today?
Wednesday.
Exactly.
Joined by freelance writer and critic Virat Nehru.
Oh, hello, hello.
And Sydney filmmaker Chris Evans.
Peace.
Now we have a pretty fun weekend ahead of us because the Sydney Underground Film Festival is kicking off tomorrow night at Marrickville's Factory Theatre. And we have with us the festival director, Stefan Popescu, to talk all things Sydney Underground Lucky 13. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
And we also have with us Brian Fisher. Brian is the director of Kino Sydney along with Christina. And he also has a big weekend ahead of us, as do we, because SF3 is going into its fifth year at Event Cinemas George Street, and the gala finals, as well as a whole weekend of Smart Home Filmmaking, are happening this weekend. And the finals are happening on Sunday night, and Brian has a film in the festival. Brian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Cannot wait.
And that's not the only film Brian has a festival Brian has a film in, because Brian, and full disclosure, myself and Chris as well, worked on a couple of features at the Take 40.
Features.
Features.
Shorts. Very, very short.
They were limited
to... We are so humble here at Film Fight Club. I love it, guys.
I felt it had the ambition of a feature. But it was 3 minutes and 5 seconds for credits. And then it's part of the Take 48 screening, which we're very keen to talk about very shortly. But first, we want to hear the Sydney Underground Film Festival. It's going into its 13th year. We're going to talk about some of the individual screenings. But what do you have planned for Sydney Underground 2019?
We've got some killer films, but opening with Beach Bum from Harmony Korine, and because it was his take on a stoner comedy, he wanted to sort of make Cheech and Chong in his own vision. he got Snoop Dogg in there, lots of pot smoking, and because of that, we're going to have some odorama to it as well. We're going to scent the hazer with cannabis. That's if the bloody customs don't screw us up. Yeah,
we don't want them to get. They shouldn't be getting in the way of this.
No,
they absolutely should.
But it's like it's tradition that Sydney Underground Film Festival has to have some kind of border control dispute every year, right?
There is some sort of contraband always. Yeah. If it screws up, you know, it's just BYO then.
That's 7 p.m. on Thursday night.
You may want to get there at 6. Just. that's for opening, and of course closing we've got The Lodge with Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz doing that, and that's going to be a bit of a interesting film actually. We're going to have security guards there making sure people aren't filming it off the screen.
I know the Underground Film Festival, it's a little edgy, you can get away a lot of stuff there, but you can't get away with that.
Well, you can try. We'll see what the security guards have to say.
Challenge thrown down.
Yeah, it's not my security guards, it's the distributor security guards. So okay. We just have to pay for it.
That's not part of the act. Okay, I thought that was part of, you know, cannabis security guards.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking it to the next level.
You can see if it was part of the act. It's not from our end. So it was the only way we could get that film.
And Riley Coe, big feature.
Yeah. No, she's fantastic in it. There's also the chick out of Clueless, sorry.
Silverstone?
Alicia Silverstone. Yeah, I'm terrible.
Of course, Glenn.
To me, she'll always be the chick out of Batman and Robin.
And out of, what's the Lanthimos film, the terrible one, Killing a Sacred Deer?
No, she'll be always be Batgirl.
Yeah. Okay, fair. No, she'll always be Cher, please.
I mean, wait, please. Did you just call Killing of a Sacred Deer a terrible film?
It was pretty bad.
Moving on. But I've heard with this film, there is quite... I have a few friends who've seen it. I haven't caught it yet. But there is, as I understand, a very contentious twist towards the end. And that has divided at least some of the audiences that I know did see this film.
Yeah. It's really interesting. You do hear mixed report. Like, I really liked it. I thought it was a little bit... I mean, it was like Endless mixed with... I don't know, Shining for me or something, you know. It does divide people, you know. I love a closing night film that divides people. So
good. I remember the Endless screening very fondly with the best film introduction to a film I've ever seen, without overstatement.
Yeah, they're great.
No, I think Mandy, when that screened, and that was such an experience seeing that. Oh my god.
Yes, that was the closing night. Was that last year?
Yes, it was. That was one of our bestsellers. That it actually was really in contention with the other one that divided everyone, the Paul Schrader film.
First Farm.
No,
The Canyons.
Yeah, that was like 500 strong. We had to open under the cinema and everyone walked out just wanting to punch each other because one's going, it's brilliant, it's genius. And the other's like, I want to kill you. It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Hasn't he had such an interesting, weird late career? Like the Canyons and then First Reformed?
Yeah.
What a 1-2 punch. Anyway.
I wouldn't call it a 1-2 punch, but it's more like a, I don't know. Yeah, more like a fist bump.
Slap. But it's not the only film screening. There's many films screening at the festival. Yeah. One, I've actually caught Braid, which is what? Saturated? Drenched? I've never seen, I've rarely seen such a color palette.
Yeah.
Such a diverse one ever applied to a movie.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Like, you know, someone suggested that we should divide our films by drugs. Like, you know, like, that's an LSD one, that's a mushroom one, it's a DMT one. I don't know what the hell that one is. Like, maybe mushrooms. I don't know.
It's beyond...
PCP or something.
Yeah, just pure stratification. Yeah. And it's...
And just like that, this is not my favorite episode, guys. Okay.
It's turned out pretty well. And we also have... We were talking just off about... Air about Use Me, but who we're just starring a cam girl.
Sierra Lynch, yeah.
But this has, actually segueing, I do want to talk about that, but segueing back to this, Madeline Brew, who was in Cam last year, yeah. Absolutely superb actress.
Yeah.
She's really good in Braid, and she's doing, has an amazing career.
I didn't realize that connection, because I watched Cam. Yeah.
Right, I looked up, because I remember her from Handmaid's Tale. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Recognize her. Yeah. She's seamless in everything she does.
Yeah, no, that was a fantastic cast, and to see women in that position as well, and sort of, yeah, yes, really awesome film. I wish I could tell you more. I wasn't really totally following her career. I did watch her in camp, but yeah.
Yeah, she's really good.
Are there any particular strands running across the program of the festival this year that you noticed?
Yeah, well, as I was saying before, like for some weird reason, we kind of have like all these different shades of wacky comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it's like WTF sort of comedy, like
Greener Grass, the one about someone lends their baby to a neighbor and it turns into a dog or something like that.
Yeah, she gives her baby away,
right?
and then she's only got one child, but then her one child turns into a dog, and it's kind of like Pleasantville on acid because no one seems to react like normal human beings will react, and so you're kind of going, what the fuck? Like, what's
isn't
going
that
on?
Like basically every millennial dream, you know, that, you know, your child turns.
Right, your dream. Yeah. Fur babies.
Yeah, people don't want to have children anymore.
I hope not for the continuation of the species, but sure.
I noticed that just going through the program, a lot of the films I could not understand what I was reading.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Jesus. Shows you the highway.
Shows you the way to the highway.
Shows you the way to the highway. Where I could not make heads or tails.
It's kind of and that one's kind of like this weird Inception thing, like where people go into alternate realities and it's a CIA mission. It's just really messed up. Like it's
right.
Like I was saying, it's like on the level of Craig Baldwin, Mock Up on Mu sort of thing. And it's all stop frame animation. Well, not all, but a lot of stop frame animation, and you're just going, who the hell made this? How could they make this? Like, what sort of drugs do they need to make this? but we got a lot of wacky ones, like Art of Self-Defense as well. It's like really dark.
These guys saw that in Melbourne.
I haven't. Varad has.
Varad did?
Yeah. It's so dumb, but it's so fun because it's so dumb.
Especially the endings, like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah.
It's just like, and it's, but like, you know, and it's, I don't know, like, I haven't had so much fun in a cinema because sometimes you just try to over intellectualize everything.
Yeah. And there was a critique of masculinity in there, and that's why people liken it to Fight Club or something, but you know, that's where it ends, I think. Like,
speaking of Fight Clubs. that reminds me of the famous challenge from the legendary Uwe Boll.
So
you have Fuck You All, the Uwe Boll story.
Yes.
We can say that because it's in the title, guys.
That is one of your best segues, Chris. So
well, he was famous for boxing some of his critics.
Yeah.
Back when, in the earlier, more innocent, arguably, days of the internet, everyone was obsessed with hating this guy for some reason. It was some kind of like... you remember when nerds were all crying out, "You raped my childhood," to George Lucas about Indiana Jones?
Oh, yeah.
So much so that it was on South Park. Yeah. It was sort of like a smaller demographic of people had that reaction about video games. like you've ruined the esteemed video game Blood Rain or whatever, Blood something. But I have to punch you, Uwe Boll.
But that's the thing. Like, as much as he is a pretty bad filmmaker, he was smart enough to be one of the first to do that, to sort of option video games and which is pretty clever.
To do, like, direct-to-video trash.
Yeah.
So how is this documentary? Because I hear lots of interesting things about the man himself.
Yeah, it's completely, painting an interesting portrait of him and stuff. My only critique of it is that, like, because I saw the guy live at one of his premieres accidentally, and
nobody goes to see him intentionally.
I was just
came out okay.
Yeah, well, we came out going, "Who the hell is this guy?" But I never forgot his name, you know. And the second time he crossed my path was with Vixen Velvet.
Yes,
originally it was meant to be called Zombie Massacre.
Right.
And then when we released it, we're like, "Oh shit! There's another film on the internet being released in the same year called Zombie Massacre." It was Uwe Boll, which made me go, "Oh shit, what sort of filmmaker?"
Yeah. Vixen Velvet Zombie Massacre, I still one of my funnest screenings. It was the late night one, I think, on a Saturday, and just the idea of all the entire community and the fire and emergency service coming together to give this low budget film this massive epic scale destruction budget for the final sequence. It was great.
Hold on. I'm curious. What was the critique?
Oh, yeah. So I don't think they really paint. I think they were kind to him because he's far more douchey than what the documentary ends on. Sort of.
Right.
Whether he had some sort of final cut scene or not,
right.
That's my critique of it.
Yeah. Everyone seems to be saying, like, "Oh, he's actually not that bad now." I think because it's become really trendy to just despise internet man babies.
Yeah.
And, so they're defined as his enemy. But, yeah, he did always come off as a douche.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're never taking that away from me as a douche. Yeah. He does make bad films.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm really keen to talk about is something every year you come to SOF and it's usually just, it's 4 days a year, which are great, but we had a bit of a lead in this year because we were involved in the Take 48 hour competition. It's the first time you've run it. Can you tell us about it and what we have to look forward to?
Yeah, so I mean, it was insanely successful. You know, like, we hardly had time to promote it and stuff like that, and we had 150 entrants, and we ended up with 31 films, so 31 groups, which is great. And and I only had a quick skim through the films because I'm not one of the judges, so I'm like, "Oh, I'll just enjoy it on the night with everyone else." But the stuff that I saw, I couldn't believe some, like, people could make this in 48 hours. Like, some were just, like, blew my mind. Like, some of the ones that I saw, they were like hand animated ones, and then the one with the effects, I think you know,
Oliver
the team.
Bonifant.
Yeah. Good friend of
that blew my mind, yeah. And then other ones that were just, like, so insanely choreographed. Like, I'm just like, how do you get that together in 48 hours? Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to the screening. It's almost sold out. It's going to be a packed screening. It's going to be great. And thank God Sony sort of given away some good prizes as well as Red Giant and stuff like that. So hopefully we can get him there on the night, actually, and give away the camera and stuff like that. So
that'd be cool. Yeah, it's hard to be more underground than that kind of filmmaking, is it?
Yeah. But we're definitely, I would love to run it during the festival, except,
I would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But Brian, you participated in Take 48 too. How did you find the weekend?
Well, it was fantastic. Really grateful for Stefan and the SOF organisers to put it on. I have done a few 48-hour challenges before through Kino in Sydney and Kino in Melbourne. Like those other challenges, I went in without any preparation whatsoever. Unlike some other people, I'm sure, who had some scripts and choreographed.
I don't know to whom you're referring. Please continue. Mic problems.
So I tried to make things simple for myself and decided to remove the whole color grading process by filming in black and white and trying to look arty. Which I think kind of.
You always look arty, Brian.
Well, especially with Chris on in front of the camera, it looks extra arty as well. So thanks, Chris. It was a fantastic experience. Really great kind of hub that you had set up at.
It's good space
at Sydney Uni at the
sleeping quarters. Yeah, and lots of Red Bull.
Yeah,
They had a Red Bull fridge.
Very great.
Like just a giant Red Bull can full of Red Bull cans.
That is heaven.
Necessary.
I don't think I need anything else in life.
It was a necessary.
We'll get a meth dealer next.
Right. See what true. And then you'll be really amazed at the films we can make.
Customs is just poked up. Yeah. That was a great
idea. Suddenly, my attention spans. Yeah.
They're all fragmented narratives.
Yeah.
Oh, so much fun.
Five different versions of Trainspotting.
Yeah. And I've actually had the great fortune of seeing a couple of the films since the festival. Oh, cool. And so I've seen maybe what, four or five of them.
Well,
now,
you've seen more than me.
God, I have 26 left to go, so I'm so happy for that. And we're going to be back talking in a moment more about some short filmmaking and stuff and SF3 at the Smartphone Flick Fest. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back on Film Fight Club.
Be inspired by in-depth interviews with some of Australia's leading journalists. Meet the Journalists is a public series of events where current journalism students interview some of your favourite speakers and writers. You can share in this experience too by listening to the podcast or attending the live events in person. Meet the Journalists' latest season includes David Spears, Fran Kelly, Richard Cook, and Emma Alberici. Google UTS Meet the Journalists to find out more. UTS School of Communication sponsors 2SER.
The Faber Writing Academy is the writing school inside Australia's leading independent publisher, Allen & Unwin. They help people get started writing and stay the distance, and their courses are run by publishing experts. If you're writing a novel, non-fiction, or setting out on your own writing career, the Faber Writing Academy can help. Visit faberwritingacademy.com.au to find out more. 2SER sponsors.
Sydney Latin American Film Festival is on now, our city's most fun and vibrant celebration of independent cinema. Discover an eclectic and vibrant mix of stories focusing on the festival themes of migration, human rights and social justice. Running from September 4th to 21st at Dendy Opera Keys, Addison Road Picture House and now also at Casula Powerhouse. And of course, don't miss out on their famous parties. For tickets and more information, head to slaff.org.au. 2SER is a media partner of Sydney Latin American Film Festival.
Sydney Fringe Festival is taking over Hurstville Plaza. Catch three nights of free comedy, theatre and live music at Fringeville from 6 p.m. on Friday 20th, Saturday 21st and Sunday 22nd of September. There'll be food trucks, a pop-up bar, light installations and free entertainment throughout the night. And of course, Hurstville Entertainment Centre will have plenty of other Fringe shows throughout September. Check out the What's On page at georgesriver.nsw.gov.au for the full list of events coming to you this month. Georges River Council.
And welcome back to Film Fight Club. So we are here with Stefan Pescu from Sydney Underground Film Festival and Brian Fisher from Kino Sydney, talking all things Sydney Underground and SF3, the Smartphone Flick Fest. SF3 continues into its fifth year this weekend. It is its biggest year. It has got more record entries than any other year. It is screening at Event Cinemas George Street throughout the weekend. There's SF360, which is the VR component. There's the first smartphone feature film they're airing. That is world premiere at the New Zealand International Film Festival. It's incredible that they put out the entries, and hey, we have a smartphone feature. And the story behind this, Blue Moon, it's screening 7 o'clock on Saturday. It's incredible. The idea that they had 36 hours to access the location and shot it on an iPhone. Like, I love these stories. And then also on the Sunday, we have the SF3 Gala. It's the fifth gala, and we have the networking events in the afternoon, but then we have the gala finals. And one of the finalists is Brian. Brian, can you tell us about your film that got into one of the top 10 entries for SF3 2019?
Yeah, well, we're pretty stoked about this film. Kenny Fu, who wrote and directed it, I shot it and cut it and did some of the sound on it. Yeah, it was amazing. It was the first film we'd actually shot on a phone before. We were actually making it for a Kino screening last year, for a Halloween screening. And because Kenny, tends to, his ideas tend to get bigger and bigger and bigger, it went beyond the scope of a Kino film. So we just kept filming it over a number of months, like last year and into this year. And came across a whole lot of problems that we had to figure out, but we overcame those challenges, and it was amazing. We added some visual effects in. We really discovered a lot about how to shoot on a phone, and And really stoked that it's made list in an international competition. Like, there's some great, there's some international entries in this competition, which I'm pretty stoked about. So looking forward to seeing how it comes up on a big screen. Yeah,
there's pretty few, a strong reputation from Australia, but also from around the world. And first, what phone did you shoot on, but also what challenges did you find and opportunities moreover? Because there are ways, there are opportunities with a smartphone which you won't get with any other much more stockier camera.
Well, I guess shooting in, you know, quickly in different locations was really good, because we shot near a station and we just had a few people working with us, so that was really good. We used a little gimbal stabilizer as well on some of our shots, so we get really nice smooth, you know, kind of tracking shots. And actually most of them were shot at my home, so that was interesting as well. It was really surprising how well the phone, which was an iPhone 8, I think, did in low light. And we actually lit it with a whole bunch of lights that we bought from Bunnings. We just got a whole bunch of LED lights, these little ones that you put with batteries and you stick them on a wall and you can, like, dim it and whatnot. So it was real guerrilla-style filmmaking. We really just dived in I think it came out pretty well. It looks quite cinematic.
Can you give us a bit of a tease about what it's about?
It's about a guy who's kind of stalked by a creepy thing. That's about it, really. That's all I can say about it, really.
Okay. Colder.
Hmm?
Yeah, I only know the title and the Colder. Cover art. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So we've been to a few SF3s together, and this festival has grown. Do you think there's a reason for that, and why are people attracted to shooting on smartphones, and why is this becoming, or is this becoming, a burgeoning and even stronger medium?
Everyone carries a phone, and the quality that you get on phones is getting better and better. Besides the fact that you can shoot like in 4K on a phone now, I think is just the way they can work better in low light, and the color that you get on those phones. And even the stabilization in them, so you can get quite nice, like, sort of professional looking shots, I think, with a phone. And I think, like, in the old days when you had, you know, 8mm and 16mm kind of cameras, which were kind of the affordable ways of making a low budget film, these days you've got smartphones, like, that's kind of taking over in that sense. It's like what happened, you know, like 10 years ago with a Canon 5D. Suddenly you've got this really cheap, affordable camera that could be used was used and still is used, I think, on Hollywood budget feature films.
The question is, does the surge of creativity come from the idea and then you use whatever tool you can get your hands on to make it, or does it come from the gear? You know what I mean? It's like now, you know, people, when the 5D came about, thought, okay, I've got this shallow depth of field. It looks, I'm not just making a movie with a handy cam. This looks like a movie. And now suddenly we're getting to, in through different kind of technical specifications, but we're getting somewhere near that with people's phones. Like, don't be ashamed of how the footage from your phone looks, because it can hold up on a big screen. May as well make a movie.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw an interview with one of the former winners of SF3. I can't remember her name.
Malwina Wojcicka or Ren Thakkum, actually.
Yeah, I saw an interview with her on Sunrise one morning, and she was talking about the film that she made for SF3 a few years ago. And
Rearview, she shot in 72 hours, amazing stuff.
Yeah, she does. They asked her about how people should use a smartphone. And I think her answer was really good. And that was, she said, you know, don't treat it like a smartphone. Treat it like a cinema camera. You know, take it seriously, and, you know, frame your shots up properly, and you'll get great results. So yeah.
No, she's gone on to amazing stuff from that. She came second at Short Plus Sweet, the Jury and Audience Award the other night. We actually caught a couple of the other flicks, and yeah, it's really exciting. So that is screening and on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And before then, I should also mention SF3 Kids is on, which is on the Saturday, 2 p.m. And then the Masterclass. The Blue Moon is at 7 p.m. on Saturday. And the SF360 and the gala event is at 4:30 and then followed by the gala awards at 6 o'clock. That's been really exciting to look forward to. And you would see, going back to Chris's early question, a lot of different short films come through Kino Sydney, some which we shot on cameras and varying levels of professional gear, and others which were shot on iPhones. And do you find there's this variation?
Yeah, absolutely. We get all sorts of films at Kino from very sort of amateur level filmmakers and professionals as well. And yeah, they're all using different kinds of gear. It's amazing the level of quality someone can get sometimes by just shooting something on their own. We have a filmmaker who's been coming along to Kino for a couple of years now. His name's Shu Lee. And I remember when he started, he just does pretty much everything on his own with his camera, his old PC, you know, and like he's not a professional filmmaker. He does this, you know, kind of in his spare time. He's got a couple of kids, but he finds a way to make it work. And you can see the progress that he's made, because he pretty much submits a film every month, and the evolution of his craft and his vision is astounding, and it's great to see that kind of growth, I think.
Shoe stuff is amazing, and I've always enjoyed seeing it at Kino. And the next one is coming up at Sun Studios Alexandria.
It is. It's on next week on Tuesday the 17th, and we have a competition next week, actually, because we like to run some little competitions on the night. So we're going to have an Instagram video competition where people have to recreate scenes from their favorite films, or recreate sort of iconic scenes on the night. So they're going to shoot it, upload it to Instagram, and they'll get a couple of passes to The Nightingale if they are successful.
A very good film, which is absolutely worth seeing. So that is on the 17th. Absolutely do head along if you're feeling some more filmmaking post in the Underground, because there's also masterclasses and a lot of filmmaking events at the Underground Film Festival this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a script writing workshop with Nico. I can never pronounce his last name. Lathurus. But that's sold out, unfortunately, so I don't know why I'm talking about it, but but he's done the Mad Max franchise, basically, with George Miller and stuff, so he's definitely involved in all of them. There's The Dark Art of the Interview with Anna Brunowski. I don't know if you've seen her last film.
Yeah, yeah. North Korea, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Aim High in Creation,
and
yeah.
One on Pauline Hanson.
That's right, yeah.
Recently, yeah.
And she also did Forbidden Lies. Knows how to extract stuff out of people, and the word down low is that, you know, it's techniques you're not taught in film school or art school, and ones that are maybe looked down upon.
That really stood out to me of the masterclasses was the financial domination one, because beyond appearing in Use Me, I was thinking, like, how does this relate to Sydney Underground Film Festival?
Well, it's one of my crazy ideas. Like, Catherine's like, really? I'm like, I heard that Sierra Lynch is coming out for the film, and I know that she has a lot of fans here. So I'm like, oh, let's go to do a workshop. And she's like, what could she do? I'm like, maybe a cam girl workshop. So we hit her up with that, because I've never heard of a cam girl workshop. I'd do it. So this one is, she's like, I'll do something like that, but it's based on what I do, which is her thing is, like, she's a financial dominatrix. So she basically, her career, this is like the best career in the world. She spends people's money. People give her their account, and she can pay herself whatever she wants, and they get off on that. And I'm just like, can I have this job? I'm definitely going to sit in on it if I can. I might be able to fund the festival with this.
That's incredible stuff. So the weekend, we're going to be talking more about the Sydney Underground Film Festival and festivals happening this weekend, everything on the podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, just keep listening, or if you're listening to SCR's now, stay tuned for The Sonic Assassin and subscribe to the podcast. But for those who want to head to SUF this weekend, how do we get there?
So it's in Marrickville, 105 Victoria Road. It's at the Factory Theatre. So just go to the website, suff.com.au, and grab your tickets. Opening night's almost sold out. So if you can't be guaranteed that there was any tickets left for that, but we'll see.
And also this week, that's from the 12th to 15th at Marrivals Factory Theatre. Kino Sydney is on the 17th at Sun Studios Alexandra at 6:30 p.m. Get your flicks in. SF3 screening at Event Cinemas George Street over the weekend. SF3 Kids. And the Blue Moon is on the Saturday. And then the Gala VIP Drinks, SF360, and the Gala Finals are on Sunday night. I want to thank Brian Fisher and Stephen Pescu for coming on and continuing to chat to us on the podcast. This has been Glenn Fowlgensen, Chris Evans, and Ratne Roo. We are so, so happy for this weekend. You will see us and hear us post an incredible time at the movies.
Maybe.
Have a wonderful night.
We could also get killed by an asteroid, so let's wait and see.
Welcome back to the Film Pikeout Podcast. We are talking festivals, and specifically right now, this is the Underground Film Festival, which is screening this weekend, and we have a pretty crazy weekend ahead of us.
It is crazy, but I found a film which is very...
Not as crazy as...
Yeah, you know.
DMT.
Very that too. But also, like, this is a found a film which is very unlike SAF. So, because this is very, you know, I would think this is more in like an art gallery kind of going crowd, you know. Because also, the exhibition was there at the art gallery in New South Wales not too long ago. So the Marcel Duchamp.
Yeah.
As a documentary. And that is playing at SAF, which is the most posh thing playing at SAF that you think about in like at least a decade, if nothing else.
It's hard. It's hard for us to ignore people like Duchamp because he's such a hero. I mean, he's such an icon. And I mean, yeah, Nude Descending a Staircase or his urinal. You know what I mean? Like they're iconic and they change the world. So you know.
And I guess it's kind of like the proto SUF kind of methodology of WTF art, right?
That's right. Well, the Dada movement and whatever not. So, you know, so there is there is a little highbrow to us somewhere that's represented by one film in our program.
There's a segment of class
the afternoon if you make it up. There's more than that, right? Because you guys do have the Inhuman screening.
Oh, that's right. We have the we've always
coming down and, you know, chilling with people.
That's right. Well, being an academic, it's hard to ignore that intellectual side of culture. So, you know, we try to integrate it. So, you know, Duchamp film and academic conference.
No, that's how actually, weirdly, that's how I heard about SAF the first time around.
Oh,
through the Inhumans conference.
Oh, no way.
Because one of my best friends, Alex, was doing a PhD in visual arts.
Oh, he's running it.
He used to do it, and it was like, oh, you should come around. I'm like, oh, no. And it's like, okay, no, it's gonna be fun.
Did he tell you we got Adrian Martin this time around?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. He was crying for the longest time. But like, you never get Adrian Martin.
We tried for Zizek 2 years in a row. He did respond to us.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He's just like, but his response was, I'm too old. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
That would have been such an incredible get.
Oh, we're gonna ask him every year.
It would have sold out instantly.
Yeah. We know that, and we also know that we could get someone to pay for his flight and stuff like that. So,
but Zizek is cancelled now. He's no longer cool with all the, you know, intellectual debate.
So he can downgrade to Sydney Underground.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Maybe we can have him. Yeah. I was actually thinking. One of my dreams was to have an academic conference, and then another one of my dreams was to have a conference called Academics on Drugs.
Yeah.
So
they can run concurrently.
So, you know, it could be anything from pharmacology to cultural studies. You know, like,
an exploration into the mind.
Or it could be an experiential thing. So, you know, if an academic wanted to drop something.
They'll all be there at the beach park.
That's the conference I need to be at.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, cool.
And one, what I would like to tell is...
Glenn is struggling for a segue.
I wasn't going to do a segue here. I was just going to jump straight in. I really liked it was 2 years ago when you had the folks come out who would find obscure tapes and obscure videos aren't on the internet.
The found footage.
That's it.
Film festival guys. I think it's found footage festival.
So you're getting sued.
This year.
That's right.
And there's a couple of those types of sessions, interactive.
Yeah, one of which is timed for the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
What?
Yeah, the moon landing event. Whatever you want to refer to it.
That's right.
The
Jamie and Aspasia. Yeah. The moon conspiracy extravaganza. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to be curious to see how they present it, because I've had many conversations with them about it. So I'm just curious. I mean, there are lots of anomalous questions around the moon and the moon landing, so I want to see how they pull it all together.
Yeah.
It's a good contrast to, we reviewed Apollo 11 earlier in the year and watched.
But now we get to see the real story, because that was a movie that tried to make reality feel like a movie in the way it was edited, and this one's going to show you that the movie was the reality all along.
Well, it's half a movie, it's half a presentation.
Yeah, it's kind of like like
it sounded better.
Have you guys been to Mu Meson Archives?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's going to be a little bit like that, you know. So. A bit of talking, a bit of presenting, and so sort of pseudo lecture / video essay on the fly.
Yeah, our movies and archives, for those who haven't, is held weekly at Public House Peterson by Jay Katz and Miss Death, and it's amazing cult screenings of films you wouldn't see anywhere. I saw Dead Kids there a few weeks ago, the second to last screening. I think the screen Attack of the 50th Woman. I know I saw Manus Hands of Fate for the first and only time there. And they're great, so they're definitely worth seeking out. They do a lot of cultural and music-themed events around Sydney, and they're always there. They're always something to hang out with. And that's half the fun of the festival. I go to the festival for a lot of punk gigs and metal gigs, and it's just that sort of environment meld with the film crowd.
Wait, sorry, what?
I have weekends.
No, that's fine. But you said punk gigs and metal gigs. I'm still like, my brain is trying to like process that.
It's one of the best venues in Sydney.
I know, but like, I can process you at a metal gig.
We'll go. It'll be great. I'll take you. Your mind will be expanded.
We'll make a film about it.
Yeah, I actually would watch that film.
Make a film about Glenn going to a metal gig.
Yeah. Actually,
juxtaposed with Celine Dion.
I'm not even joking.
Celine Dion, oh my God. She's incredible.
I'm not even joking. Glenn, and we can I saw you coming back from the gym the other day in Chippendale with like your eyes closed, like headbanging slightly. And that scene's definitely going to be in there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, just reveal. Maybe I've been making this film already. And stalking you.
He knows my route. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Guys, just for context, I mean, Glenn has this persona of loving Taylor Swift and musicals, but that's all
I
a
do.
Lie.
I wish I wore my Taylor Swift reputation today. I almost did.
That's a lie. He's clearly a head-banging metalhead that we've, you know, secretly not been aware of.
You can be both. You should watch Taylor Swift's Def Leppard duo thing. Anyway, we should talk more about the Underground
Film Festival. We should. What other films?
Speaking of moon landing.
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing the Parkes Telescope jersey. I got this there. It was made from the wool of the sheep at the paddock, and the dish is still there. And they tell me the moon landing, they were involved somehow. I don't know if I believed anything they said. they were very self-promoting. You know, I took it with a grain of salt.
So
the sheep or like
the radioactive sheep, yes. They were just arrogant and rude.
Yeah. So what other films that we haven't drawn attention to, which is most of them, would you recommend?
Oh, Mope. Mope is one of my sort of...
The porn one, right?
Yeah. And it's because I watched it a second time as well. And the first time they only gave us a screener. So I think I must have like skipped the text at the beginning,
right?
And the text says this actually happened, so I skipped that, watched the thing, went important. Oh, what an entertaining film. And then when I watched it the second time, I'm like, this actually happened. Oh, that footage at the back wasn't like faked footage, it was actually real news footage. And that just adds another layer to it all, because you're just going, oh my God, this thing actually happened in the LA porn industry. But it's really funny till a certain point, then it's not funny.
Right.
But that's life, right? Before you realize it, it's a cruel joke on you.
Yeah. You've just nailed the film for the main character.
I saw the trailer. They seem...
The first time I saw Love Actually, that's how I felt.
Anyway. A completely different movie. Oh, but
speaking of Love Actually, romantic comedy.
Perfect segue, yes!
Yeah, we have... But hang on. But it was too good a segue opportunity for me not to take, but can we just briefly get more in depth of what Mope is about?
Oh yeah, so it's about the Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan of porn. So these two guys who really are in love with the form. I was gonna say art form, but I was saying form. And they really want to be porno stars, but so they take whatever job they can, and so I guess they start as mopes, which are just people that hang around and are extras in bukkake scenes and clean the setup and whatever not, get paid nothing. And then they sort of go about trying to become sort of stars, and they find their niche in getting kicked in the nuts.
No one wants to do it.
Very
the trailer was just that one clip.
Yeah.
And it was just repeatedly, I couldn't.
No, I'm feeling it right now.
Because the economics of that actually are kind of very interesting. Because not that way.
I want to hear this.
Let me redeem myself if I can. Because I think Mia Khalifa came out recently, and she just said she only made like $12,000 out of all the videos.
Yeah, but her porn career was quite brief, actually. She's just become famous after the fact. So when people are like, "Wow, $12,000, that's nothing." Yeah, it's nothing, but she wasn't like famous doing tons of work for a long time.
If that is like a lead role kind of thing, then you can imagine like, you know, what people who are not getting paid that kind
of thing. It does show you what it's looking, like.
Yeah. So that became more academic point than I was thinking was.
Yeah.
Speaking of academic points, romantic comedy.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a video essay, I guess, on romantic comedies, deconstructing sort of romantic comedies and all cut together. It's hard to get something like a video essay that's quite entertaining and. Apart from like Zizek or something, so it was really good to find one and put that in. Yeah,
no, I'm there. Cool. Yeah.
And one I've managed to catch, Dreamland, with a smorgasbord. I'm going to say a visual smorgasbord of a final sequence.
That's the third time you've used that word. I don't think you know what it means.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah.
I don't think there are
smorgasbord underground film festival.
There aren't adequate adjectives to describe parts of this movie.
It's amazing, and it's got Henry Rollins in it, which is a really interesting role for Henry Rollins, and Juliette Lewis too. I didn't even pick her for a long time.
Just felt what? Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But even with Henry Rollins, I'm like, is it? It's getting old. Yeah, it's an interesting story. It's got a dark tinge to it, but it's very well visually stunning, like the way it's shot, and especially the end scene. I don't want to give too much away, but it's about a hitman and how he sort of ends up taking control because his boundaries are being pushed too far, sort of thing. Yeah,
there's a brilliantly staged sequence between three characters in a shop towards the beginning of the film where husband and wife and the main character there's several just great encounters, and there's the fellow, I forget the actor's name, but he just chews the scenery in every scene. He's the groom.
Is he the Trump?
The vampire.
He's
operating a hollow level.
Just to be clear, this is another one of the movies that I didn't see it like Len did, but it was another one I lumped into the WTF.
I totally forgot about that, the whole vampire angle as well. There's a lot of films like that where you just go, because you kind of latch onto one strand of it, your brain can't latch onto all the, and that was one of the things where I'm like, the vampire,
this is here. And just his maniacal glare in every single sequence, and just managed to make it more exaggerated and more extreme in each successive scene. And the final scene is just great.
That's amazing. I can't say too much about that.
There's another Takeshi Miike film. Like Miike films and Shion Sono films have become like tradition at SAF.
Yeah.
There's always got to be some kind of Japanese wackiness.
At least
not like Ichi the Killer, but
And they don't do a Sino Sono where they go into a vampire's vagina.
This guy ditched me.
It's really? On Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I know.
Rod is pointing. I just want to give context for the radio listeners out there. Everyone who's like observing the program. Rod is pointing. Accuse Glenn right now.
So he walked in with me and he said, "I will do this marathon." And then he conveniently just walked out 5 minutes in. And then I was just left all alone.
To watch some crap movie that no one remembers.
I watched one about the artist who would have been visited by aliens and created art about all the encounters.
Yes, it's beautiful imagery. Yeah.
Exactly.
Didn't you watch the time travel one? I don't know. Didn't you watch some like DeLorean time travel thing?
No, I saw that too. Okay. It was a long night. Like, they because the screenings go to what, after midnight?
I know.
Yeah.
Because
no. There's
like
no breakfast cereal this year. No, yeah, no cartoon.
I know. Or late night cereal. I was so disappointed about that. Like,
okay,
look,
we need the cannabis.
Like, I pushed it. Yeah, no, I see, we need both.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. They go together.
Look, I don't know if our contact there has left or something, or maybe we pissed him off or something. I don't think so. Like, but also it could have been Kath. Kath could have sabotaged it. I don't know. Because I said to Kath, like, hey, are we doing this again? And she's like, do you really want to do that again? I'm like, yes, of course. Yeah. We want to do this again. And and she's like, all right, I'll send an email. And it was kind of like half-assed. So,
right.
But look, I'm bringing it back next year. I don't care. Yeah. Even if I have to make oatmeal myself.
Right. Right.
Guys, we need to crowdfund cereal.
It's the one time of year I eat sugar in the morning. As Chris has alluded to, I go to the gym. Yeah. So this is my like cheat day. And I need it back, Stefan. I need it back.
Yeah, no, I agree
who
with
you.
Glenn. Fruit Loops, man. I'm the same. Once a year I eat Fruit Loops and at the festival.
I'm very conservative. I just want Rice Bubbles.
Yeah. Yeah, I could just keep throwing out movies and asking you about them, but
how about we talk about potential things, what you want to see at the festival?
I want to see Sort of Trust, because Lynn Shelton, I've really enjoyed some of her films. She's kind of like hit and miss for me.
This one's
good.
Yeah, well, did you like Hump Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you liked Hump Day, this is definitely like, it's funnier. There's a better deadpan delivery to it, and so you could. It's kind of weird. We've all mumblecore. You know how mumblecore's kind of evolved. I don't actually think the form's evolved. I think the filmmakers just got better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So, but mumblecore's kind of weird in that like it never really had much of a form in the first place.
Yeah,
the form was like me and my friends.
Yeah,
and like
Jim Jarmusch,
you know, just
probably just went.
But Jim Jarmusch is not mumblecore. Jim Jarmusch is like self-consciously European, and mumblecore is like, we've got a zoom lens, it'll do.
Yeah,
like four friends.
So yeah, so it's Lynn Shelton sort of caught up to the Duplass brothers sort of.
Yeah,
in yeah, yeah. And so this is quite entertaining.
Mark Maron's in it. Apparently.
Which one?
Sorry. Sort of Trust. Mark Maron, apparently.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Again, see, slipped my mind. but yeah, yes, the comedian, he's really good.
The plot of this one is about someone inheriting a sword that supposedly proves that the South won the Civil War and trying to sell it.
Yeah, and it's fun because it plays with the fake news thing, the
right.
conspiracy theory thing. It's a nice take on that. So
yeah,
and there's a beautiful twist at the end too. Yeah,
I think
I'm keen.
The point we're trying to make is that we just end up there at the Factory Theatre on Friday, and then we don't get out until Monday.
That's basically my weekend.
We should do a lock-in festival. Like,
yeah,
yes. I'd say I just go to Source down the road or Griffin.
No, but you were not allowed to go down.
No,
the road.
We'd have to provide you food and beds and stuff.
Yeah.
We've got to do that one year.
Then hang out. I mean, the jerk chicken place is great.
Yeah. Phil. Yeah.
Actually, that's a question. So,
what is the jerk chicken coming back?
Yeah. How do you pace yourself? Because like, I'm going to be there the whole weekend. If you want to,
no, but
like,
seriously, is the jerk? No.
It is there, right?
Yeah. Okay. Totally.
You heard it here first, guys.
And Young Henry's is
jerk chicken is coming back.
The sponsor this is Grifters.
Oh,
even better.
Yeah.
Don't tell
them. And they've got a little bar there. So yeah.
They have four stouts on tap at the place down the road, and they're like three of them are just they're all good, but three of them are just like absolutely spectacular. So totally worth. That's so great.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I was very happy they.
Just on the lock-in idea, maybe you should try doing Take 48 as a lock-in thing. Just
that's
lock people in.
Yeah,
that's a really good
they
idea.
They don't get released until they have a film ready. You know?
That's
I like that too. And if you had an amazing location like this year, then that would make it even better.
It's
right?
Great idea. And then make a reality TV show on that and sell that.
Just have cameras everywhere. You'll be constantly.
But you also you'll have like the Red Bull thing container, but you'll also have like this secret mystery box, and like halfway through it's like, this is like choose your weapon.
we could make a TV show out of this. This is
it,
do you remember
stream it live as well.
Because, you know. The movies love the movies about the movies.
Yeah. So do you remember that TV show that was, I think it was called
Gogglebox?
No, The Great Race or something?
Yes. Amazing Race?
The Amazing Race.
Amazing Race. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That I used to watch that religiously. Like, yeah, race. Like, I don't know, bring that back, you know? Like, and yeah. So each show is a 48-hour thing. And yeah.
I'm just seeing all these, what is it? This is the end, the Seth Rogen film where they remake Pineapple Express in the house with all this.
They made Pineapple Express 2.
That's right. A lot of the films I can see. Like,
well, we need to kill Woody Harrelson because he's going to be US president.
Talking about This Is the End, what happened to Jay Baruchel? He just dropped off the universe, you know.
He just didn't have the X Factor.
Because there could only be one Michael Cera.
But
Francis Ferguson.
Speaking of, no, I don't actually have an X Factor segue. Yeah. But
hello, Ronan.
I just really want to see Francis Ferguson.
Really good. So you haven't seen a screener?
I've seen the trailer. I know the main stars are in it, and I know the very basic premise.
And you know Bob Byington from Infinity Baby? He did Infinity Baby.
Yes.
Yeah. So did you watch that?
I missed Infinity Baby.
That one's really good. So it's a very it's kind of like mumblecore-ish in its essence, but the dialogue's really damn good, and. So Francis Ferguson's like that, but the subject matter is it's about statutory rape. So it's a girl who, like a girl female teacher that sleeps with, and I'm not giving anything away by saying this, with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of contentious.
So much about
subject
it.
Matter for it to be a comedy. It's like how did
South Park have done it, and the producers here.
Yeah.
I think you're right, because I think people are not. It's not the subject matter that's like, you know, putting people off. It's just the fact that it's being treated like a comedy.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people are just like, whoa.
Yeah, so it's really interesting.
Can I even laugh at this? Well, am I even allowed to?
My assistant programmer,
the leader was a comedy.
Co-programmer.
Satire.
Yeah, but, you know, I think we are at that stage where, like, I think treatment has become such a big part of, like, how people respond to things.
Mm.
We're, like, preconditioned to be like, I'm not supposed to respond to something like this.
Are you treating this seriously enough?
Yeah.
This is a serious subject. It deserves to be made into a serious film.
But Bob Byington's done a great job with it, actually. Not just good job. If anyone could do it, it's him. But you're right. It's a sensitive issue. And my co-programmer, he wrote, like, the like for the launch he wrote like little lines that I should say, and for that film he wrote the funniest film you'd ever see about statutory rape, and I'm like, no, I cannot say that. Like,
this
do you understand?
Be true. Like, but it's right. Like, you can't fault this.
And then wasn't that the Isabel Huppert one, which was also really funny?
Oh, L. But that's L's about brilliant. Just like not even statutory rape. That's just like hardcore rape.
Yeah, that's. Okay.
But it's a great movie. Seriously, L. It's one of the best.
It's not a comedy. It's got overriding comedy elements. I would say.
But it was also hilarious, and it also managed not to trivialize its subject. Yeah. But that's a matter for the debate. But
so it can be done.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Dun, 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 dun.
Anyway,
yeah, and I had a friend, Simon. We go to one or two movies every year. We saw Vixen Velvet together, and he reached out to me and said, "Glenn, there's one I want to see this year, and he wants to see Tone Deaf." That's his pick
at
the festival.
That is a good pick, actually. And you know what? It's not doing as well as it should. It's Richard Bates Jr. who did. Suburban Gothic, and I can't remember the one before that, but he's again like a really good up and comer, like Bob Byington, Tone Deaf's like hilarious. It's basically about a Trump supporter, like sort of right wing sort of Trump supporter.
I'm with you so far, okay?
Yeah, that. Ends up, he hates millennials, and then he puts his house on Airbnb, and a millennial, of course, picks it up or whatever, and then he decides to kill this millennial just because it's one thing he wants to do before he dies.
Bucket list.
that's what the film's about. It's amazing.
Tone deaf. And one, we've talked about a lot of the comedies and a lot of the, I guess, shocky ones, but one that's much more serious or drama, as I understand, is Alice. I know it's screened in Victoria. I missed it there, but I am really keen to see it. I think it's on the Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. And
Alice. Okay.
And on that note too, Josephine Macaras is actually coming out. So
oh,
we didn't know that before we published the program. Mainly because, you know, distributors don't communicate with anyone. So they didn't communicate with the director, and the director's contacted us gone. That's amazing.
It's surprisingly really good. And I got it at MIFF as well. So Alice is really
That sold out three screenings at MIFF. Yeah. So she's going to be there. And a few of the, I think some of the, like one of the producers or something as well. So there's going to be a few people there. So hopefully that'll be, and for an Australian film as well, like it's really pretty amazing. But it's about a woman that sort of finds out that her husband's sort of seeing a call girl or whatever, and then sort of in investigating that kind of ventures into that world.
So yeah, it goes into a completely different direction than I was expecting. The first third, I was like, I know where this is going. And then it's like, maybe I don't know where this is going.
And I really like that as well.
But yeah, some really good Sundance picks actually this year in the festival, which, you know, kind of got overlooked everywhere else.
Greener Grass, that's one that I'm just so surprised has been overlooked. I was going to open with Greener Grass. Was that good that. Yeah, it's hard to open with a film like that because you're like, I don't know how many people are going to trust it, but it is, like, if I had to pick one film that I want to watch with an audience, it's Greener Grass.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, I can't wait because watching on my own.
But if you don't take a risk, it's soft. Like, why are you really coming to that festival?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Actually, you know what? That's, and our audience, the ticket sales have been showing that, though, that, because I put a lot of films that I thought, oh, there's no names in this. Let's put in the smaller cinema. They're the ones that are sold out first. I had to switch them out.
Right.
So it's been good. I think our audiences are sort of taking risks. But yeah, Greener Grass. Mate.
Speaking of risks, just listening to you talk about these films just gave me the urge to make a film and try and submit it into your festival. I was just thinking there's a lot of randomness in the Kino community in a creative way. I don't know if you can answer this, but what do you look for? What's your, if you have a selection criteria, what do you look for in films that get us off?
So our base criteria across everything is just something that's pushing some sort of boundary, like Braid aesthetically, sort of, and a wacky storyline as well. Harmony Korine, his take on Cheech and Chong. Jesus Shows You the Way to the Highway, you know, it's just like aesthetically bizarre and the storyline's just crazy. So it still has to be cohesive and stuff, and there's that fine balance, but it's just got to be doing something different. Is it political? Is it aesthetically cutting edge? Is it story wise sort of shocking or interesting? Look, there's a really good chance if you make a horror film with a 7-foot chainsaw in it, we'll screen it.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Challenge accepted.
Mandy. Yeah. On this subject, I want to.
Kino October, it's coming.
On this subject, too. I want to point out that the short film programs at SAFF are really, really good.
Yeah, I'm amazed by Australian short film. Like, almost half the program's bloody Australian because we're just making crazy ass short films. Like, so technically it's up there, the acting's up there, and then you just got these crazy storylines. So yeah, there's a lot of risk taking in short films. It'll be, I mean, speaking of that, features. If you think of the Australian features we got this year, right? So you've got Locus, you got Use Me. So think of Use Me is amazing. And for full disclosure, that was one of my ex-students. I programmed the film before I knew that.
Wow.
So that was,
It's a nice pat of encouragement to yourself that you gave.
Yeah.
unintentionally.
Well, yeah, because I was going, I recognized the guy. And then I'm like, just left my mind and then came back and went, oh my God, that's Julian Shaw. Yeah. So, but it's really nice to see that he did this genre bending thing where, or this hyper real doco where it starts off as a doco and then turns into a fictionalized sort of thing. So whether it's in the form or content or something, tons of Australian stuff. Locus, like, unbelievable. Alice, What else have we got that's Australian? There's got to be another one, but I don't know. I'm flicking through.
Actually, there was one on the matter of shorts that was really keen to ask about, and I only learned this from actually Suf's social media, and there is a short series from a Ukrainian filmmaker who has been in the news very recently.
Oh, maybe you know more than
I understand he was detained.
The one, that's right, he just got released. What was his name? Help me out.
I'm sorry, his name was, I don't know his name. I saw it on, I will.
You got released
it.
From jail or asylum or.
Yeah, so it is.
House arrest?
He was. I'm not sure if it was house arrest or. But yeah, it was. He was arrested and held in Ukraine. And
it was Mr.
Julian Knish?
No, Julian Knish is the curator for that.
Oh, sorry. That's what it said. Oh, sorry, here we are. Oleg Sentsov.
That's it. Yeah.
The wrong part of the program.
Be clear about that.
So, yeah.
Very important. No one don't want to defame anyone.
And it was funny. The way I found out is because the web designer is like, hey, dude, do you want me to still put this on the web? And I'm like, well, did Julian tell you to put it on the web for that session? He goes, yeah. And I'm like, well, then, yeah. And he goes, but the guy got released. And this is... release whatever. I'm like, oh, the guy got released. Oh, right,
that's good.
It just happened the other day, so I don't look, to be honest, I don't know that profoundly about the politics. Like I'm intrigued that about sort of marginal cinema, and that's why I really like the Ukrainian stuff, because I'm like, there's and I was right, some of the crazy stuff that comes out of there, and whenever you get a country that's kind of like marginalized in the eyes of the West and stuff like that, they produce some really crazy stuff, and some of the films that I've seen from the Ukraine are pretty amazing. So, but that guy, I'm sure it was some sort of political reason. He was
That's the impression I got very strongly.
Something to do with Russia, I'm sure. And
that does happen. So yeah, that'll be a great session. That is on, I think, on the Saturday. Yes, in the afternoon. And also that day, you have my last question for you is that you have two features on classic filmmakers and films. One on Alien, which we've all seen, and also on Friedkin. I used to live in the Exeter Steps in Washington, D.C., and I used to walk up and down in them every day. And it's not too scary for me anymore, but the images in the Exeter still continue to haunt many an audience for time immemorial.
Yeah, well, Friedkin Uncut was a fantastic doco, and I say was because we just found out that we had to pull the film.
Oh.
What happened?
All right.
Oh, just the distributors were being idiots. So, it always happens once in a while.
It actually helps me plan my set that Saturday morning.
Yeah, so you can take Friedkin off that list. It was really cool, and Exorcist was one of my favorite. What, you know what, I still get freaked out watching Exorcist to this day. Like, it's one of those films that the look like that, it's just haunting.
Like the way it just establishes, you know, like kind of the science of it at the beginning, like that this is nothing natural here, they go through the whole process of making us see doctors and all that kind of stuff, and then just becomes more and more plausible. It's the devil,
So
he made other movies too.
That's right.
But
he's remembered for that.
Just a bit of trivia. My mum's from Sri Lanka, and one of the first films my father took her to see when she came to this country was
The French Connection.
The Exorcist and Deliverance. So
nice.
Awesome. Romantic.
Yeah. That's my father. That's on your dad. Yeah.
Well done, Dad.
And of course, Memory. It's really cool because it sort of deconstructs sort of Alien as a feminist text, and as a proper body horror sort of film. And so it was quite an interesting reading of it. And I mean, that moment when the alien breaks out, that sort of goes down in cinematic history, and they focus kind of on that moment actually. And of course they go through Geiger and the issues with Geiger, that Ridley Scott, because Ridley Scott pulled Geiger back on. So yeah, Geiger was on originally, and so they go through all that and detail it, and
kids today, they know nothing. They're just watching Timothée Chalamet and Lily Rose Depp.
Do they talk about Ron Cobb?
Okay.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Oh, no, okay. Just curious. I don't know. So Virat is trying out for the guy who wants to kill the millennial.
Yeah, and just for the record, the Lily Rose Depp film that's coming out, Dreamland, is not the film that's screening at the festival. No, there's probably a much better film screening this weekend. There's three films called Dreamland in the next year.
Isn't that crazy? Even we were like, even our designer picked the wrong image for Dreamland. Oh, no. Like,
no. Last thing you want. We're so keen for this weekend. It's going to be so great.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going
to
be there.
We've tried our best to extinguish all possibilities for conversation, but still they present themselves. So we'll have to forcibly cut ourselves off at this point.
Cool.
That's okay. But we can survive.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
So Kino is on the 17th, mm-hmm. and then SF3 is this coming weekend at Event Centre, George Street. And we'll see you next week if we've recovered from the weekend.
Can I just plug a couple other things?
Oh, yeah.
We've got our Kino Cabaret coming up in November, the 48-hour challenge, and so does Melbourne. Melbourne Kino. We've both got Kino Cabarets pretty much back-to-back.
So do the Australian tour.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good
East
idea.
Coast tour.
For one, Sydney is not left behind.
It'll be worth checking out. Yeah. It'll be awesome.
I went down to Richmond last year for it. It was great. And Kino Cabaret was, I think as Chris described it on air, electric last year. It was great. It was wonderful.
Really, yeah, it was really good.
So we're keen for that. And we will see you next week. Have a wonderful night. Enjoy movies.
Enjoy cannabis.
Whoa.
Have a good night.